Heather. My name is Jeannie from upstate New York. Happy 500th episode. I've been listening to your podcast ever since I became a mom in 2014, which is crazily now a whole decade of listening. One change I've made to not mom alone is simply tuning into your show every Monday. I've grown so much from all that you share. The insights, guests, prayers, being connected to a whole world of moms through your show has made it possible for me to discover tools to face many of the challenges of being a mom, wife, daughter, friend, and follower of Christ. All the while being reminded to receive grace when I mess up and to give it to others. Thank you for your ministry and especially for you. A whole generation of mothers and their children and their children's children will benefit because of your faithfulness to shine light into our lives and homes.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this special episode 500, I am welcoming back to the show my friend and mentor and mom to four boys, Leslie Johnson, because she was my first guest back in 2013 when the show was called God-Centered Mom and I was producing it all on my own, recording it on my laptop, no mic. And I'm so happy that I'm not podcasting alone anymore, and I have had such an amazing group of people come alongside me and help me out. I'd love to give them a shout out. Sarah Jane was my first virtual assistant, and Ted has consistently helped me with website design and upkeep. And anytime I'm like, Ted, it's broken, fix it. Rachel came on as my editor and is still rocking it with editing this show and Sidetracked. We had Stephanie as a virtual assistant, and she did such a great job. And my friend Misty came alongside me and helped me out with marketing and with rebranding Don't Mom Alone and with the book launches. And now my virtual assistant is Megan, who is a mom of four in all the different stages that you all are in. And so I'd also love to thank you. Thank you for listening along. Thank you for contributing to this episode. Several of you called in and I have included your sweet messages. I'm blown away how many of you started listening back those 11 years ago and have stuck with me and are tracking right alongside me with this motherhood journey. That is the goal. So in this episode, we're going to cover my main three goals, which is mentorship, friendship, and discipleship. And at the end, I've got a little gift for you as a thank you for these 500 episodes. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Okay, Leslie. Oh my gosh.
Hello.
Hi. Episode 500.
Hey, gal, that is amazing.
It's wild, right? You've been in my life since episode one and even before episode one.
I know. That's pretty crazy.
Because, okay, Watts was born in 2000. This is testing my mom brain. 2009. That's when I met you, was when he was a baby.
Yes, because I remember that sweater. He was so long, and he had that sweater outfit in the nursery. And you had to just like undo all the buttons. Craig and I were laughing about that last night. Like, we remember Watsy.
It's very memorable. And then you invited me to your Sweet Mom Heart group, and we met there for years. And you had kids in high school and college. And here yes. I am, 11 years later, from starting in 2013, this podcast. And now I have the kids in high school and college. It's crazy.
I know.
We need an update on where your people are now, because I wanted to have you back on and just kind of recognize, while I'm now kind of in the stage you were in back when I started, you're now at this whole new stage that I will find myself maybe in 11 years. It's crazy.
And it doesn't feel like that much time has gone by, but so much life has gone by. So,
yeah. So tell everybody where, I mean, just a quick, like,
okay. We have four sons, and so Craig and I are empty nesters for real, for real. We always would say they're gone, gone, gone. And then they're gone, gone, gone. So they're gone when they go to college, they're gone, gone when they get out, and then they're gone, gone, gone when they get married. So all of our kids are gone, gone, gone. And Will and Grace live in Austin, and they're both doctors, and they have four kids. They have June, who's 5, and Cora and Jack, who are twins, who are 3, and then Annie Kay, who just was born last year, so she's a year old. And then Ben and Emily live in Austin, and they have really interesting jobs. She's works with social work things, and he works for Dropbox. And they have 2 kids. They've got Silas, who's 2.5, and Dorothy Eloise, who is going to be a year in January. And then Ryan and McKenna live in New York. Actually, they live in Brooklyn. So that's pretty fun. And she works at an art gallery. She has her master's of art history, and Ryan just finished his master's of painting. So they're kind of living the life up there in New York, and we love going to see them, but I miss them. Yeah. I don't see them as much. And then Kevin just got married, our youngest. He is married CJ, who designs bridal dresses. She's super creative. And they, Kevin works for Apple, and all the boys are very, very creative still. They do all kinds of creative things, and they've married beautiful women. I call them my flower garden. And CJ, when she got married at the rehearsal dinner, gave me this beautiful framed, she got 4 different flowers and dried them and framed it. And I of course started crying, but I could tell which girl was each flower. I was like, this is you. This is Grace. This is McKenna. This is Emily. And she was like, you're right. So I have a flower garden. I've got 6 grandkids. I have a wonderful husband. We've been married 38 years, and it's a new season, and it's been good, but it's also been hard. There's just new is hard for me sometimes, but the Lord, he made us to go through seasons, and I'm learning how to do that. So.
Yeah. Y'all can't see. I'm like tearing up.
Oh, yes.
What's wrong with me? That's such a beautiful picture of your little flower garden.
Yes.
Love that, gal. That's so pretty.
It's really sweet. And the girls
just
love
all
each other.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. They are, they have a text called the Sister Wives. And so.
Are you on that, or they're just on?
No, I'm not. And there's part of me that's like, what the hey? So I started a flower garden text, and but it's good because Craig is always reminding me that we want our kids to have their lives, do their things, and they love each other. The brothers all love each other. They do things together, and sometimes it does make me a little sad when I hear that Grace and Will have family dinner every Sunday night in Austin, and they all get together. And sometimes I get a little sad, and I just think, no, that's what you want, because Craig and I are going to move on, and you know, we're not going to be here for forever. But I feel like the kids, they love each other, not because I'm making them love each other. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think every mom. You know, I used to tell the kids when they were growing up, and when I would pray with them, you know, I'd tell them, Ben's your best friend. Well, he's going to be your best friend. You're going to have all kinds, you know, when I pray for them, they really are. That brings me great joy when I don't think about myself and think about, if I think this is good, Leslie. And I've been memorizing Psalm 16:8, and it just says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. And when I think about things like that, those are the things I could never have imagined when I was your age, that you'd just be so happy that your kids were getting together, or that they were following Jesus still, or that I still have people like you in my life that I love. And it's really, my heritage is very beautiful.
No, it is this hard, like gut-wrenching part of motherhood. It's, you want to be in the middle of it still, and it's not.
Yes.
It's like this launching, and you do want them to have these lives of beauty, and that their families, like, that's such a testimony to your motherhood of, like, they've chosen wives and they've started their own families, and they do want to connect with one another, that I think a lot of moms are grieving that they don't have that, you know?
Right.
And yet it can be really lonely when you've invested all that time and energy and you find yourself, okay, what the heck? Like,
where am I in that? Am I chopped liver? I have to remember, I think the Lord's helped me to kind of say, you know, when I cry out or kind of get sad or whatever, what is that you really want, Leslie? Because remember, Jesus asks people that all the time. What do you want? And sometimes you're like, well, Lord, he's blind. Why are you asking him that? He wants to see. But I think Jesus is also asking us that. And I'm like, well, Lord, I want connection with my kids, the daughter-in-laws and my sons and the grandkids. And I'm like, well, I have that. They don't live in Dallas, but I have connection with them. So I'm like, okay, that's right, Lord. I do have, you're giving me what I want. But sometimes I think the world says something else and we can get really focused on that. I do. I get very focused on, well, they've got all their kids here or they've, you know, whatever.
The comparison doesn't stop.
It doesn't. And it's like, that's the other thing. Because I was thinking in 11 years, it's like the things that we struggle with will keep on. And we just have to keep dying to self and just saying, Lord, I don't want to be this kind of person. But then but it's going to take a lifetime. I think I'm 62. I thought, I'll have arrived when I'm 60. I'll just be so floating and just whatever. And it's like, no, you know, I still, whatever. All the things, but I'm learning it's about becoming instead of just doing. Like I'm asking God, Lord, I want to become the kind of person who is loving and kind and gentle. I want to grow old gracefully. I don't want to be like bitter and angry in my 80s and 90s. And I think we still, you and I've talked about this, you still have to put yourself around people who are older than you and who are side by side with you to remind you that we just keep needing mentors. My mentor is still alive. And it's such a great blessing to me to see how she's navigating being in her 80s. Because I'm like, I want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus. I want to have more of the fruits of the Spirit. And what I do is becoming less and less important.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Hey, Heather, this is Amy Grace Duncan calling from Stuart, Florida. I'm a big fan of yours and the podcast. I've been listening for almost 8 years since my oldest child was a baby, and I have just grown a lot and been inspired by so much that you shared. One of the things that really made me think a lot was your emphasis on mentorship. And I always thought that was so aspirational and so wonderful, but I didn't know how to approach that in a way that was practical for me. So a couple years ago, my friends and I were talking about how everything pauses in the summer and we kind of don't have our normal routines with Bible studies and things like that. And I said, hey, I'm willing to help lead this, but we need someone else who has a little more capacity. So we asked an older and wiser mom who is about 20 years older than us to host us ladies when the kids were at my house with a babysitter. And this older and wiser mom has just been so encouraging to us and spoken so much life to us. And she has become our mentor, and it was in such like an approachable and easy way in a group setting. And it's been a blessing to all of us. So thank you for your wisdom and guidance, and congratulations on your 500th episode.
Good. Yeah. I mean, you would think once your kids are all gone, that, oh, you don't need a mentor anymore. But yeah, that's not true.
Yeah.
Like, this concept of mentorship is ongoing.
It is. And like, we're so focused on our kids and all that kind of stuff that, but it's always was more caught than taught with our son, right? We were terrible at family devotions, and I would read all the things and I would just so depressed and think we're the worst. But I taught them, Craig and I taught them community. We taught them how to practice hospitality just because we did it.
Yeah.
I wasn't like sitting there telling them, you guys need to do that. And my kids all practice hospitality. The girls will tell me, you know, they'll call me sometimes and I'm just so happy. They'll ask me for a recipe, or they'll say, we're having our neighbors over, Leslie, and blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, oh, it's so great. It's so great.
So that mentoring, even your kids, is coming from just who you are. So if you're putting energy towards meeting with someone at a stage a little bit farther ahead than you, whatever that stage is, you're growing personally, and you're not so focused on, like you said, you're not like child focus. You're, okay, how am I growing? What matters to me? I thought it was interesting how you told me the other day, you're like, in this transition of the gone kids, how you thought it would look so different.
Yes.
And how you had to kind of come to grips with finding yourself again and being like, no, I'm still the same person.
Yes. Because, you know, I look around and I think, well, my friends and people I love, they're doing all these new things. And I'm like, I'm still doing the same thing. But I love this. I love having people over. I love having creative day. I love inviting and connecting. I love crafting. I love hosting. And it just, but it looks different, right? It's not with your kids' families, kids' friends, families, or it's just saying, Lord, who do you want Craig and I to love on now? And what does that look like with our kids? But going beyond that, and I think it should, it always did go beyond just my kids when they were growing up. And I think that's important for us to remember that we just have our kids for a time, but we have our husband for a long, you know, long, long time. And how are we growing in that? How are we growing in that? God has given us this identity, these gifts and talents, and he just loves us so much. And he just wants us to just do the things he's calling us to do. And he's talking to us. He's telling us through his word, through others. I think I'm learning that more too as I've gotten older. There's more time to practice silence and solitude, being quiet, and really asking and believing that God's going to answer me.
I'm Sarah. I'm from Canada, and I have a 3-year-old and a newborn. I've been listening to the show since my first was a baby. One change that I've made in my life that helps me not to mom alone is to seek out healing prayer ministry. And I'm grateful for your promotion and encouragement of healing prayer ministry. I'm so grateful for the people who provide it. I was able to pray and find healing and get curious, like you say, about my responses and the way that I was handling things poorly with my toddler, and just learning to trust God to not hide those things, but to bring them out into the light and talk to other people about them and pray with other people about them. So thank you so much for the show, and God bless you.
I mean, that third part of what I hope this show has been is discipleship of like, okay, moms, there's no formula.
No.
There is a relationship with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can direct you for your kids in this season, for this day. And even what you're saying is this great reminder of like that relationship with God has been the constant, no matter what, whether your kids are high school, college, or gone. Like that relationship is the constant. And are we plugging into that and listening to God and getting his direction? It's our same identity. It's a new space for us to fill. Your verse from the Psalms, it's like, you have drawn up these lines, God. I trust you in those lines. Mm-hmm. And like, what are you asking me to do within that space? You know, it's kind of the right where you belong that I push a lot in my book, my other book.
Like, I know. I love that.
What is this space that you're asking me to occupy right now, even in the season? So one of my questions when we're comparing like episode one to episode 500 is, you know, the things that I was so concerned about with my kids at that stage almost seem humorous now.
Right.
Bruce was reading through some goals and roles that we had. And like, one was that Knox would poop on the potty, like just funny now, right? Like consistently doing that, you know, or like watching his potty words, you know, like things that were so big back then.
Yes. Yes.
And then, you know, but there were real worries. I remember you and I talking, you're like really worried that Kevin wasn't looking people in the eye when he talked to them. Well,
yes.
I think he's figured that out at this point. Like he's
totally figured that
he's
out.
He's fine. Or I remember being real worried when Quaid was hanging out with people and they were riding bikes around town. And you were like, girl, they're riding bikes. It's not that big a deal. That perspective. But I also think mm-hmm. it's things that we need to take to God. It's good to have a mentor that gives you perspective. But like, what were worries then that seem silly now, or maybe how have you kind of worked through like when those things feel scary and hard to bring them to others and mentors and to God?
Another verse that I've been really, well, two, but one is I memorized Psalm 23 and just the first part of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm. And so sometimes even now, if I get anxious about things with my friends or family or my adult kids or grandkids, I just think, he is my shepherd. He is the king. He is sitting on the throne. I shall not want. He's going to figure this out. And I think what helps is to go back and remember what he's done in the past. Like you're saying, like, the things that you felt like were so important, he has worked through all those. And so, and not all of them were pooping on the potty things. They were, I know you've had some things, some struggles or things with your preteens or, you know.
Yeah. Scary teenagers. Things. You're like, are we going to get through this? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I think at my age, I can look back and go, yeah, God is faithful. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have pain and suffering. I think that's something too that is new for me. Is to remember that I can do it all right, but there's still going to be pain and suffering. And I don't think people talk about that very much. I think we talk about, oh, just do it all right and everything will work out. And, you know, God is good. And I think at my age, I'm seeing God is good even when it doesn't all work out the way I think it should work out.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Hi, Heather. This is Shannon Lau, and I have listened to Don't Want Alone since it came on. And one thing that has really helped me to remember to not mom alone is first put God first in everything that I do. And then to surround myself with like-minded Christians who are growing and encouraging me to pursue the Lord, especially in the difficult times, to reach out when I need help, like when I'm struggling with depression. And of course, in these years of raising a teenage son, which are always difficult, just to not give up and to persevere and to remember that my child is God's child and a gift from him, and I'm not in this alone. God is with me, and he has surrounded me with like-minded women who will encourage me and who are trying to raise their children to be the young men and women God has designed them to be. So thank you for your podcast and all your resources. May God bless you as you continue to bless us. Thanks.
Like, maybe I'm going through this hard stage with my kid, but it'll work out. Well, it might not. And can I find God's goodness, even if it doesn't, even if
that's
none of my kids follow Jesus or none of my kids end up in having successful lives with, you know,
right.
I could have done it, quote unquote, like you said, all right. And how can I find God's goodness even when it doesn't look good, or comparatively, it's that comparison thing.
Well, and that's why, like in Psalm 23, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So he's saying we are going to walk through that. And why do we not fear it? Because he's with us. Jesus is with us. That's the kingdom living that Jesus has invited us into, is that he is with us even in the hard things. And that is the good news of the gospel. And the good news too, that everything's in abundance in that psalm. Our cup overflows. And then I was thinking about this the other day. Surely his goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And so goodness and mercy, that's who God is. Those are qualities that he told Moses or Elijah. Those are with me now. I don't have to die to have that. That the kingdom is now. And I think we need people around us who are thinking that and telling us that too, so that when things go janky with whatever, our health, our families, when our parents start needing us, we just go, his goodness and mercy is here in this right now. And that's something I think that's different for me from 11 years ago, is I'm seeing that more, or I'm trying to practice that, and I'm trying to look for that, because I think we find what we look for. And I think I can get really negative and really think, well, you know, this isn't fair. I didn't get this, or blah, blah, blah. And I just think I'm just confessing that and just saying, Lord, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places, and it's abundant. And I think too, it also, we have to set the Lord continually before us, because he's at our right hand. We will not be shaken. That's also in Psalm 16:8. And God just brings, as I've been memorizing, he just brings those verses up. And I think I think that helps to set the Lord before me. Like, this year's going to be a little hard because we're going to go to Austin for Christmas. The kids aren't coming here, and just a lot of different reasons. We've got 6 grandkids, 5 years and under. And I understand with my head that that's hard, but it's been hard for me. And I think I don't want to be that mother-in-law or the mom that's just like, yeah, I have to come home and rah, rah. So I have to set God in front of me, and I have to say, I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to go down, and you are going to have to change my heart, Lord, because I feel sad about it. And it's okay to feel sad about it, but I also want to be a blessing to my kids and my grandkids. And I have to practice it now. I'm not just going to magically turn into that person at 80.
Hi, Heather. My name's Natalie. I live in Boise, Idaho, and I've been listening to your podcast for probably 4 or 5 years now, but one of the biggest changes I made was about 3 years ago. We moved to a new state. We left behind an amazing community of family and friends and wonderful church community, and moved to a new state where we basically knew one person. And I was in a very lonely season. I had 2 young kids at the time, was pregnant with my 3rd, and just felt so alone. And your podcast just brought me so much it just brought me so much encouragement because I remember listening to an episode and it was talking about this woman and she had a similar experience where she had moved and didn't know anyone and she was discouraged making friendships and she just realized she had to become the inviter. And so that I think that in the last 3 years, the biggest thing I've changed in myself is becoming the inviter. Instead of waiting to be invited in to people's lives, I've started being the person who invites people into mine. So whether that be getting up the courage to randomly ask for someone's number at the playground or inviting new families over for dinner, definitely outside of my comfort zone. I'm a self-proclaimed introvert, but definitely enjoy being around people. But yeah, that's definitely been the biggest change, and it's been so life-giving. Now I'm 3 years into living in this new state, and I have a wonderful community of moms who are just fabulous and have similar values, and it's just, I think it's because I put myself out there and I became the inviter. And yeah, just wanted to share that because your podcast has been so wonderful and just appreciate you so much and all you do. All right, bye.
I would love to hear, how do you stay in community? Because I know community matters to you. I know friendships yes. matter to you. Like, as you are walking through, I know you and Craig have lost your parents, and it's a long journey of like caring for parents, and you need support in that. And it's like, yeah, your kids are gone, so now you can hang out with friends more. But how do you hang out with these people when they just want to talk about their kids? And anyway, it's like, how do we stay in community? How have you found, no matter the stage, staying in community without being discouraged?
I think Craig and I are inviters, and so we have a group of couples we call Set Your Minds on Things Above. And we try to get together once a month, and we're all kind of the same age and stage. And so we talk about these things, and we're reading books about these things, and we're trying to, we want to finish well. We want to love people and keep mentoring and keep reaching out to our neighbors and keep not just kind of just coast. We don't want to go, it just sounds so horrible to just go live on a golf course or something and just.
Go insular is what I heard. Like, you're doing the opposite of let's just sit around and talk about our kids. You're talking like how do we develop our relationship with God? And you're doing that in community. So you're still with people.
We're still with people.
But your conversation is circled around how do we love well? How do we live well?
Yes.
How do we stay connected to Jesus? Like,
and we do talk about our kids, but sometimes we'll be funny. We'll be like, okay, everybody, we get to talk about our kids for like 5 minutes or whatever. And then we'll just say,
grandkid picture time.
Cause I'll think I'm more interesting than just my kids and my grandkids. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think
That's the goal.
Yeah, we are. And, but not like, I don't want to just go out and do things so that I can be more interesting, but I think, and that's where I just think we have to listen to the Lord about what to get involved in, what to do, what to say, because we have to make space for our time with the Lord, and we have to make space for people. And if we're so busy, I can't go out and talk to a neighbor when they walk by or all the things. So
yeah,
but we need people. We just need people in our lives that are doing the same thing, that are not caught up, because we're all being formed, and the world is trying to malform us. It's trying to say you need to be successful and have a second home in Colorado, and you need to just whatever. Not that any of those things are bad, you know, but you can kind of feel like, am I doing the right thing, Lord? Am I doing the right thing? I feel like I'm still doing the same things, but I feel like I'm growing deeper in how I do them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I that's how I experience you. I just, when I think of Leslie, I think creative, gatherer, instructor, wisdom bringer. And like, I would be sad if you changed those things.
Yeah.
That is who I want you to be. And
yeah,
whatever that looks like in whatever stage, I think all of us like leaning into that identity and not feeling like it's less than.
Right.
That's what I hope. That's what I hope to encourage moms, like, know your God-given identity. Bring it to your motherhood, which you did, and you have these amazing creative community gathering boys and men and families, and then it's like, and continue to live that life, and that's what you're doing. So it's such an encouragement. To me personally, I'm the beneficiary of these creative nights and card addressing parties and fun, and put my cute ornament on my tree today that you made.
Oh. But
you're a light, and I'm so thankful that we still are friends, and I cannot believe 500 episodes blinked.
I know, gal. And I love how you keep growing and developing, and from God-centered mom to Don't Mom Alone, and the writing and the encouragement to women to, like you say, to spend time with God, to love well, to be around other women and read books about that. You know, our mentor doesn't always have to be a person. It could be through a book, and to just love kind of who God made them to be. Yeah. You've done such an amazing job at that. And you still encourage me to do that.
Big love fest. Hearts all abound.
Yeah, right here.
Well, thanks for joining me again, Leslie.
You're welcome.
We will link to all your things in the show notes.
Okay. Well, and congratulations, gal. I think the Lord wants us to celebrate these things. And I love that you're celebrating it and letting people celebrate with you. I'm so, so proud of you, and I love you dearly.
So. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Have a great holiday season.
You too. Love you, friend. Bye.
Heather McFadden. Well, this is Cynthia Yanoff, and I couldn't help but call because 500 episodes, that is so freaking amazing. I'm so proud of you. And I'm thinking about what Don't Mom Alone has meant to me. And yes, I love your show. I love your books. I love your content. But really, I love that the Lord gave me a friendship with you. And boy, did it come at the right time. And the fun that we've had, the sidetracks and doing Don't Mom Alone episodes together, I'm really grateful for that. And as someone like you, but you write so much about being a good friend and loving people well, I've seen you do that firsthand in my own life. And so I'm just so grateful for you. You're of the very best. And so happy 500 episodes. Heather, here's to another 500.
Again, thanks y'all for 500 episodes. Thanks for sticking around and joining me here and over on Sidetracked. I want to let you know that my virtual assistant, Megan, she had a great idea to create a PDF with Psalm 16, 6 through 8 in it to share with y'all. And so you can find that in the show notes to download and to print for your keeping. I'm going to pray over us. Lord, are we grateful? We're grateful for technology. We're grateful for all of the people who have trusted me and come on this show to have conversations to guide families. And I thank you for your faithfulness in this and all the different moments of my journey, the last 11 years, the hard and the good, and how you have sustained me, how you have been consistent, even if I have not. I thank you for those who have listened and have shared with a friend, who have grown in their community, who have deepened their relationship with you and been inspired. I pray over every child represented. I pray for their journey that they would come to a saving knowledge of you, that they would follow you all of their days. I pray for this next generation. I pray for the moms who are listening that they would find their identity in you alone, Lord, and who you made them to be, that motherhood would be a blessing on top of the identity you've given them. And I pray, Lord, for all that you have planned for the future, that you would continue to be my guide each step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. I will see you back here next week. I've got lots of fun interviews that I've even done already for January, but next week's was really fun. I interviewed Dallas Jenkins and his wife, Amanda, about the movie The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, which actually came out like a month ago, but it's worth seeing with your family however you can this holiday season. Such a sweet story. But we had a wonderful conversation. Can't wait to share it with you next week. All right. Adios. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.